Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Happy Friday, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Weekly Wrap-Up Show, the first ever LeadX Weekly Wrap-Up Show, as a matter of fact. So as you know, Monday through Thursday, I interview a leading thought leader, a great author, or other expert, and we get actionable tips to make us at least 1% better each day. But man, by Friday, my brain is full. So we're going to use the Friday show to pause, to remember what was talked about, you know, earlier in the week, reflect on these great lessons. And this is also then an opportunity for me to answer questions from you, which I always love to do. In fact, in a little bit here, I'm going to answer a question I got from Sammy, who asked, how do I deal with an employee with a bad attitude? But first, let's talk about the amazing guests we had from earlier in the week. I mean, like, what a lineup this was. So we kicked off on Monday, episode one, with the one and only Dan Pink. You know, he's the author of A Whole New Mind, Drive to Sell as Human. And I mean, he is like at the top of the peak. I know a lot of authors, I know a lot of speakers, but I was a little starstruck. And you know what I found out, even like before and after the recording, but hopefully it came through in the interview too. You know, as successful as he is, I mean, he was so gracious. He was patient. He wasn't rushed. It seemed like he was truly enjoying the conversation. And you know, a lot of these other people I interview, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I mean, they hop on and they hop off. I mean, there's very little small talk. There's very little shop talk between authors or anything. They just want to get their plug in and go about their day. And look, I'm all about productivity. So, you know, that's great. But Dan Pink just like was so friendly. It felt like we could have just, you know, popped a couple of beers and kept the conversation going. So I hope you heard episode one. You know, he talked about, we focused on his newest book, To Sell as Human. And it's less about sales and more about persuasion because, you know, we're all in sales these days, whether we're trying to persuade our boss for a raise or actually sell something to a client or persuade our spouse that we want to, you know, go to a certain vacation this year. You know, we all sell from time to time. And Dan Pink, you know, he took the classic mnemonic called the ABCs of selling. And so old school, like anyone, I call hardcore salespeople sales lizards. And I use that term with affection. So it used to be that the ABCs to a sales lizard was always be closing, always be closing. And, you know, Dan Pink says now the ABCs need to stand for attunement, buoyancy, and clarity. You know, in the old days when there was information asymmetry, so the salesperson always knew more than the buyer, then this, you know, all those sales tricks and pressure selling could work. Now the buyer has as much information or more than the seller. So, you know, attunement is about, you know, can you get into the other person's head and understand, you know, their perspective. Buoyancy is just surviving the rejection that goes with selling and persuading. And then C is for clarity. Like, can you truly get to the real problem, be clear on the ultimate need, the ultimate problem, and be clear on your solution. And I mean, we talked about a lot of other things, you know, related to that topic, but what I was excited about is Dan Pink, when I said, hey, okay, give us our 1% challenge. What's the challenge for the day? You know, he wants all of us to identify our daily MIT, most important task. And this is for those of you who are time management and productivity junkies like me, you know, this is the principle of one thing, like always be clear on what our one thing is. And of course, I wrote about this in, you know, my book, 15 Secrets Successful People Know About Time Management. It was one of the secrets. And I did some original research in this area. People who have a clearly identified and written MIT every single day, not only do they report being more productive, but they report having a better quality of life and more energy. And I think that comes from not having to wonder what to do next or were we productive today or not. You know, print out your calendar for the day, or if you're still old school and using that to-do list, and scrawl in big letters, you know, what your MIT is. For myself, every single day from 8 to 9 a.m., I try to get from 8 to 10 a.m., that's my MIT time, before the rest of the world explodes on me, before my kids have a chance to call out sick and I gotta go pick them up from school, which just happened about 2 hours ago. I know I'm gonna get my MIT worked on. So I was excited that that was his challenge. And, you know, it was a great interview. I threw Dan a couple of curveballs. Hopefully he'll forgive me for that. You know, we ended up talking about influence in the recent U.S. presidential election. I asked him about his family. He talks a little bit about them in his book, but you know, he's on the road like crazy, you know, doing speeches. So I asked him about work-life balance tips, and even career advice, you know, how he went from, he used to be a speechwriter, a political speechwriter, used to work for Al Gore, and he resigned and then became like full-time, you know, book writer, speaker dude. And I wanted to get his advice for others who are thinking about that. So it was just a jam-packed episode number one, probably ran a lot longer than we will usually run. Really encourage you to go back and listen to it if you haven't already. So then we had, on Tuesday, we talked with Rory Vaden, episode number two. And Rory's like the nicest guy out there also. So full of energy, very funny. He gave the best and most authentic failure story I've ever heard. It was crazy that he actually did this and revealed it. You'll have to go back and listen. But what we focused our time on was his book, Procrastinate on Purpose. And so Rory and I, you know, we're productivity junkies and we disagree on a few things. We agree on a lot. And Rory's model, he calls it the focus funnel. So whatever it is, all your tasks that you have on that task list, that to-do list, he wants you to put them into your focus funnel and ask yourself a series of questions. You know, can this thing be eliminated? And if so, just cross it off, get rid of it. Can it be automated? Is there some way to just automatically get the task done with like an app or a tool or a rule or something? Can it be delegated? If you can't eliminate it, you can't automate it. Can you delegate it? And he and I agree, like if somebody else can do it about 80% as well as you can, good. That's good enough. Let them do it. You don't need to have them perfectionism is a form of if not procrastination, it'll kill your productivity. So delegate it. And then if you can't eliminate, automate, or delegate, you have to do it. Then the decision is, do you do it now or do you do it later? And he encourages you whenever possible, do it later. That's where it comes procrastinate on purpose. Put things off on purpose to expand your time, you know, in the present for the day. And, you know, Rory's 1% challenge to us was to read something today. And I'm a big reader, obviously, like just for this show, I read 250 books a year. I read another 50 to 100, you know, outside of this show. And Rory pointed out that once we graduate from college, it seems like nobody reads anymore. So few people read books or read newspapers. It feels like if it's not in our Facebook feed, we ain't reading. And I just thought this was great advice. I think readers are leaders. Most leaders I know are readers. And books are a great way to learn from, you know, the great figures in history, alive and dead. So I thought that was a great one. Episode three. On Wednesday, I talked about Dori Clark, personal branding, of course. So Dori's the author of Reinventing You and Stand Out. And the big takeaway for me, right off the bat, you know, I think I asked her like, so who needs a brand, a personal brand, or why should we even be thinking about creating a personal brand? And Dori right away said, listen, you got a brand already, whether you like it or not. Everybody's got a brand. You know, it's what people are thinking about you, you know, at work. It's the impression you're making when people look you up on your LinkedIn profile. It's what people are saying, you know, behind your back, good or bad. And so rather than having your brand be accidental, you know, rather than having your strengths be misunderstood, personal branding is really thinking clearly about your strengths and what do you want to be known for, you know, put your best foot forward. And again, her book is great. She's got all kinds of exercises and stuff. But I said, well, how do we get started with that? And she said, you know, it can start with something as simple as the three-word exercise. Just, you know, ask all the people closest to you, friends, family members, team members, your peers, your boss, you know, anyone you're comfortable with, what are the three words that describe you best? If they had to describe you in three words, or what are the three words that come to mind when they think about you? And very quickly, you know, Dory says, you're going to start to see patterns. People are going to start to say the same or similar words. And it's a good place to start. And there's all kinds of ways that you can then assert your personal brand, you know, from just being mindful as you're, you know, putting together your resume or your LinkedIn profile, or aggressively begin, you know, doing content marketing if you're a consultant, or, you know, trying to sell your services. But, you know, Dory said it's as easy as, you know, when you're at a networking event or a cocktail party or whatever, you know, not to have an elevator pitch, you know, one of those canned things that sound like a formula and it sounds like you're ready to sell them something. You know, it could just be something that you realize when someone says, you know, what do you do, or how do you spend your free time? You know, you're answering in a way that shines a light on your areas. You know, I think the example she said is, if, I don't know, being philanthropic or giving is like one of your brand attributes, you don't like say, oh, I'm a very charitable person. You know, that's going to sound pretty weird, but you might just say, oh, you know, I spend some of my free time. I'm on the board of the library project, and we like to raise money to build libraries in Asia, you know, that type of a thing. And you're putting forth that part of your brand in a very natural way. You just don't want to be accidental when you're answering those kinds of questions. Let's see. And yesterday we had episode number 4, Dave Kirpin, CEO of Likeable Local. You've probably already heard of him. He's all over the place. His newest book is The Art of People. And it was my second favorite book. I had to tell him it was the second favorite, but it was my second favorite book of 2016. It sounds like a stretch, but it's like the classic, everybody loves, you know, how to make friends and influence people. Well, it's that kind of a book, but for the modern era, and there is no fluff in this at all. I mean, it's little tight chapters with things you will start to say, start to do, like very actionable. And so this was a perfect kind of guest to have on our show, because that's what I want this to be all about. And, you know, one of the things that Dave shared was, you know, there's a magic word that gets everyone to want to be around you, to be your friend, to be your client, to be your, you know, an investor. That word is fantastic. And what Dave means, he says, you know, usually when people say like, hey, how you doing? You know, we default to like, fine, how you doing? Or good, how are you? Or same old, or crazy busy. You know, I really hate those last couple. He says, when you start to answer, when someone says, hey, how you doing? You say, fantastic. I mean, they can't help but wonder, like, you know, geez, like, why are you so fantastic? I'm not fantastic. I don't think I'm fantastic. How's your life going so well? You know, what are you doing? What are you eating? I'll have what she's having, right? So this is a magic word. And I've seen this also. I always talk about emotions are contagious. Our emotions spread like the flu. So if you're stressed out, if you're complaining, if you're hangdogging, that's going to bring everyone else down around you. And they don't like that. They're not going to want to hang with you. They're not going to want to hang with you on Friday night. They're not going to want to volunteer to work on your team at work. They're not going to want to invest in your company. None of that kind of stuff. If, however, you are upbeat, you are excited, you are going to conquer new heights, you are fantastic. Well, people want to be around people like that. You're going to make people feel great. And similarly, Dave said, you know, there's a magic question you should ask everyone you meet, especially the first time. And that question is, how can I help you? And if it's delivered, not as a trick, you know, not as a, like, I'm going to get this question out of the way and then I'm going to try to sell you this life insurance policy. I agree. It is a magic question. And again, I guess, you know, it wasn't set up, but this is something I do all the time. I do a weekly meeting with each of my direct reports, each of my team members, one-on-one. And I always end with, you know, okay, how can I help you this week? You know, what do you need from me to be successful this week? I ask that every Monday to everybody that's on my team. Every time I have one of these guests on the show or I'm being interviewed on someone else's podcast, before we click off on Skype, I always say, how else can I help you? Or I'll some variation of, hey, make sure as you've got your new projects for this year coming up, keep me in mind. I want to help, you know, and it really, it's so rare for people to offer it, to proactively say, I really do want to help you. It works magic. So that was a quick highlight of our four amazing guests in week one. I encourage you to go back and listen to the episodes if you haven't had a chance or if you missed any of them. Let's switch over to the question of the week. I mentioned Sammy emailed and said, hey, what do I do about employees with a bad attitude? So, you know, this is if you're a manager with someone with a bad attitude. So there's three things I want to touch on. First, are you sure it's a bad attitude and does it matter? What I mean by that is, you know, pause and really make sure you're not attaching meaning to something that isn't there. You know, if you invite me out for drinks after work with the team 5 days in a row and I say no 5 days in a row, is it that I've got a bad attitude about work and the team, or just that I've got small kids and I want to go home and have dinner with them? Or, you know, I'm caring for an aging parent and you're not, and I need to get home. So, you know, whatever it is, make sure that you're not assuming or attaching meaning, and make sure there's a negative consequence to the productivity, the output, or the people around them. Otherwise, who cares? But let's say it's real. Like, I'm sure you can tell that that person has a bad attitude. But here's the thing. Like, you can't coach the attitude. You have to always coach behavior. Because if you address the attitude, like, you can't open someone up and look in their mind and their heart to look at their emotions. And it's easy for people to say, like, I don't have a bad attitude. Maybe you got a bad attitude. So you need to look at, like, what are the things going on that makes you think that person has a bad attitude? Were they, you know, rolling their eyes in the meeting when you brought something up, or one of their, you know, peers brought something up in the meeting? Did they interrupt people and shoot down ideas? Are they not participating in certain conversations? If you're in a retail environment, you know, are they not smiling at the register to customers? So that's the thing. You need to really be clear about what are the observable behaviors that they're doing that is, you know, either having a customer service impact or a sales impact or a morale impact or a communication impact. And then that's what you want to coach to. Now, you know, official big business coaching model is going to be that you want to always invite them. Like, you say, can I give you some feedback? They say yes. And then you say, you know, in this morning's meeting, I saw you roll your eyes. That could be viewed as a lack of respect, or counterproductive to a fruitful conversation, or whatever it is that bothers you. You know, this morning I saw you talking to that upset customer and you were not smiling. In fact, it looked like you were frowning. That could be interpreted by customers as you being, you know, mad or not caring or disgruntled yourself. A better way to handle it. And look, this is Kevin as the entrepreneur. I never worry about that. Can I give you some feedback? Do I have permission to tell you what I observe? Because I think it's artificial. It's fake. Look, what are they going to say? No, you're my boss. I'm going to tell you, no, you can never give me feedback. That would really be a bad attitude. So look, I think what's more important is, if you see something, say something. As close to the time and place of the negative behavior, you want to give that feedback. They might not realize they did it. They might have all kinds of weird body language that they don't know about. They might not understand how their behaviors are spreading or are contagious to others. So coach the feedback. You criticize the behavior, I should say, not the person. And so I said there's three things. First, are you sure? You know, second, coach the behavior, not the person. But third, this is more like medium term, long term. You know, people who are actively disengaged, the opposite of people who are engaged at work. You got people who love the company. They care about the goals of the company. They want you to succeed. Well, people with a truly bad attitude who are actively disengaged, they don't like the company. They don't like you. They're looking for a new job probably. You need to also think about, okay, the big three drivers of engagement are growth, recognition, and trust. There are others, but I always focus on those three. So you need to think about, okay, you know, if Kevin seems to like be disengaged, has a bad attitude. I've done the coaching part, but I'm also going to hold up the mirror and say, like, okay, you know, maybe he's not feeling challenged or growing at work. You know, when's the last time I talked to him about his career plans? You know, maybe he's not feeling appreciated. When's the last time I've recognized his good efforts? Or is he clear on what does get recognized around here? Trust is about, I trust that the future is bright. You know, does, maybe he's disengaged because he doesn't understand how this company will be successful or how what he does aligns with making this company successful. So think about that long term. Coach the behavior short term, long term. What can you do to activate growth, recognition, and trust? And then let's face it, don't forget, like, not everybody can be saved. Not everybody can be saved. A lot of people with bad attitudes, it's a hiring mistake. You know, I know a whole lot of disgruntled lawyers. They don't want to be a lawyer. Their parents told them to be a lawyer and they hate it. You know, no manager is going to fix that. Maybe you've got a computer programmer who loves programming, but they want to work in a closed office waterfall development environment and you're an open office scrum environment. All right, right job, wrong office culture. So look, I mean, do what you can and then sometimes realize that the best thing you can do is to help them find a better place, whether that's inside or outside of your company. And I always get hate mail when I say that. You know, it's like, hey, you know, if I give them 40 hours and they give me my pay, that should be enough. Why do I have to be a cheerleader? You know, it's not about that. Just imagine, you know, every manager is a coach. So imagine you're the coach of a football team. And I don't often use sports analogies, but look, your team's in the Super Bowl. Do you want a quarterback who loves his team and wants to win the game? Or do you want a quarterback who hopes to be traded and is only playing for the paycheck? Yeah, I just need to play for four quarters and I get my $1 million bonus. I don't really care whether we win or not. I mean, obviously you want the quarterback who's dying to win, will do anything to win. I don't see why business needs to be any different. Let's assemble a team of people who are actively engaged, who are emotionally committed to the goals of the organization. And if you can't help, if you're doing your part and you're helping to get them there and they're still not there, maybe they should just be on another team. That's all it is. So, hey, before we wrap up, please, please, please hop on over to iTunes or Stitcher. Just take a minute, leave a short, honest review, and let me know. My email is kevin@leadx.org. When you leave a review and let me know, we're going to invite you into our private ambassador group on Facebook. That's where we do monthly raffles, book giveaways. We talk to our authors and just have a lot of fun and mutual support. Hey, next week is going to also be crazy. We've got Basecamp CEO and author of Rework, Jason Fried. He tells me the best way to approach your boss to get her to let you work from home. Craig Ballantyne gives us the formula for a perfect day. I talked to entrepreneur Chris Ducker about personal branding. And one of my favorites so far, Chris Voss. He's a former FBI hostage negotiator. He wrote my number one favorite book of 2016. It's called Never Split the Difference. And Chris Voss gives us what he calls a Jedi mind trick. Now, when an FBI agent, an FBI hostage negotiator tells you he's going to reveal his Jedi mind trick that he used on terrorists and kidnappers, I'm paying attention. So that is lined up for next week. Until Monday, my friends, hope you have a good weekend. And remember, leadership is influence, which means you're a leader whether you want to be or not. You influence people when you speak up, and you influence people when you choose to remain silent. You influence people when you step forward and when you choose to be a bystander. Good or bad, your emotions are contagious and they spread to those around you. Starting this weekend, choose intentionally to be a great leader.